Manavlayiri's arms lengthened to pick up a slender white wafer 10 centimeters square from the bench. The unit emitted a single whistle, then spoke.
"Greetings, Director Parker Higgins."
He gave the Xenoch a small bow. Oskai Katsura tapped the environmental bubble with a fingernail.
"We cleaned and tested all the components before we reassembled it," she told Ione. "That ice wasn't pure water. There were some peculiar hydrocarbons mixed in."
"Lamil fecal matter," Lyria said through the wafer.
"Quite. But the real challenge came from the data itself. It was like nothing we have found so far. It seemed almost totally randomized. At first we thought it might be some kind of art form. Then we began to notice irregular trait repetition."
"The same patterns repeated in different combinations,"
Tranquility translated.
"The science staff always go through this rigmarole, don't they?" she asked, half amused. "It is their chance to demonstrate to you, their paymaster, the effort they put in. Don't disillusion them. It's impolite."
Ione kept her face neutral during the second long exchange.
"Which was enough to formulate a recognition program," she said smoothly.
"Quite," said Oskai Katsura. 90% of the data was garbage to us, but these patterns kept appearing."
"Once we had enough of them clearly identified, we held an interdisciplinary conference and asked for best guesses," Parker Higgins said. "Bit of a long shot, but it paid off handsomely. I'm pleased to say Lyria said they resembled Lamil optical impulses."
"Correct," Lyria said through the wafer. "Similarity approaching 85%. The data packages represented colors to a Lamil's eye.
Once we'd established that, we ran a comparison on the rest of the data, trying to match it with other Lamil nerve impulses," Oskai Katsura said.
"Jackpot." "Well, more or less. It took 4 months to write interpretation programs and build suitable interface units, but we got there in the end."
A wave of her hand took in the benches and all their elaborate equipment.
"We unraveled the first full sequence last night."
Dawning realization at what Oskai Katsura was actually saying brought a sense of real excitement to Ione. Her eyes were drawn to the stack in its protective bubble. She touched the transparent surface reverently. It was warmer than the ambient temperature.
"This is a recording of a Lamil sensorium?" she asked.
Parker Higgins and Oskai Katsura grinned like 10-year-olds.
"Yes, ma'am," Parker Higgins said.
She turned to him sharply.
"How much is there? How long does it go on for?"
Oskai Katsura gave a modest shrug.
"We don't quite understand the file sequences yet. The one which we have translated so far lasts a little over 3 minutes."
"How long?"
Ione let a waspish note creep into her voice.
"If the bit rate holds constant for the other sequences, approximately 8,000 hours.
"Did she say 8,000?
"Yes,"
said Tranquility.
"Bloody hell!"
An oafish smile appeared on Ione's face.
"When you said translated, what did you mean?" "The sequence has been adapted for human sensorized reception," Oskai Katsura said.
"Have you reviewed it?"
"Yes. The quality is below normal commercial standards, but that ought to improve once we refine our programs and equipment."
"Can Tranquility access your equipment through the communication net?" Ione asked urgently.
"It should be simple enough. One moment, I'll datavize the entry code," Oskai Katsura said.
"That's it. Show me."
Senses which were fundamentally wrong engulfed her conscious thoughts, leaving her as a passive, faintly protesting observer. The Lamil body was trisymmetric, standing 1 meter 75 high, possessing a tough, heavily crinkled, slate-gray skin. There were 3 legs, with a double-jointed knee and feet which ended in a hoof, 3 arms with a bulbous shoulder which permitted a great deal of articulation, a single elbow, and hands with 4 triple-jointed fingers, as thick as a human thumb and twice as long, bestowing considerable strength and dexterity.
Most disturbing of all were the three sensor heads emerging like truncated serpents between the shoulders. Each one had an eye at the front, with a triangular bat ear above it, and a toothless, breathing mouth below. All the mouths could vocalize, but one was larger and more sophisticated than the other two, which made up for their deficiency with a more acute sense of smell.